Anyone here have like sick day rituals? When I was a kid, my sick day ritual, depending on how sick I was to watch 4, 5, and 6 Star Wars. The original Star Wars. That's what I did as a kid on VHS. And because my dad is cheap, they were all recorded off of TV. So I was fast-forwarding JCPenney ads and Macy's ads and a store that was no longer even at the mall in Apache Mall in Rochester. I had this ritual of all these different movies that I would watch when I was sick. I hated being sick. I still hate being sick. Like, I can only stand being sick for like a day, maybe two. I hate being sick. Of course, it takes me about 4 days of being sick before I admit that I'm sick. And my father is one that says I'm not sick unless I go to the doctor to tell me that I'm sick, and I'm not going to the doctor, so he doesn't tell me I'm sick. So I'm never sick. Today, St. Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever, and it's such a weird event. It's a very short event, and it kind of rubs me the wrong way. She's sick with a fever. They get out of synagogue. They walk over. If you ever go to the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum is on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, and you can see where the synagogue is, and their house is like where administrations are. Like, it's literally just like a walk away. It's not that far away. And there's a church that looks like a spaceship on top of the archaeological site. I kid you not, if you look up that the synagogue in, it looks like a spaceship because they built it above the archaeological site. So it's raised up and you can like look. Anyways, it's a weird design. They walk across and she's sick. And Jesus, of course, does the Jesus thing and heals her. And there is no recovery time. What does she go back to doing? Serving the Lord. What is the ultimate good of yours and I's life? And I think this is why it rubs me the wrong way. I want some time for myself. If I've been sick, if I've been ill, I want some time for me to recover, for me to get back on my feet. Because life, after all, is about me and what I want to do and what my concerns are. And what my stresses are, and what my anxieties are. Obviously, I'm the one that created the world. I'm not. And here we see this beautiful heart of this woman, of St. Peter's mother-in-law, that knows what life's about. Serving the Son of God. Paying attention to the needs of the Son of God. What are his concerns? What are his promises? What is he asking of me? She's healed, and she goes right back to prioritizing her life towards the Lord. And then after that, still after that, Jesus rubs me the wrong way, kind of. After sunset, people start coming to him. He cures many at the door. Everyone's healed. And you would think he would just keep doing that, but at some point he calls it. And then he goes away from the sick. He goes away from the poor. Why? To pray. Why is the Son of God praying? He's the Son of God. He's aligning his will to the will of the Father, which ends in his death. He goes away to pray, to be in a relationship with the one who together are co-creating the world with the Holy Spirit. And after checking in with the Father, the disciples come and flock to him and say, hey, everyone is looking for you. Everyone knows, in some sense, everyone knows, life is about not me. Life's not about you. Life's not about me. Life's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. And so we have this sense from this humanity, everyone is looking for you, which is such a true statement. Which is such a true statement. Everyone, no matter what they're about, are trying to find fulfillment and to have their heart rest. And Jesus is that. Everyone is looking for you. He's in a deserted place. Everyone's looking for you. We too have to be about the Lord's business, but then also we have to stay in the Lord's business by this prayer. I don't know about you, but I would absolutely love it if everyone was looking for me. I'm like a 2-year-old when it comes to hide and go seek. I'm here. When things are catered to me. So Jesus challenges us that. No. Life's not about you. It's about me, and everyone's looking for me. And then in this dialogue with the Father, he says something super profound. I have to leave here. I have to leave the good of healing these individuals who will someday die. Because I have come to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. We must go to nearby villages. This is what I'm about. Because even though all these healings happen, they're still going to die. Because he still hasn't saved us from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And that's why he came. He didn't come to put a bandage over our woundedness and our diseasedness. He came to heal it at the source. He didn't come to give us radiation. He came to heal the sickness itself, sin, and to live in the Father. And that's why St. Paul is saying, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do not say the good things of the Lord, woe to me. Because the good things of the Lord are greater than anything I could have ever come up with. The gospel message is not a message that I would even begin to think about. The Eucharist is not something that I would even begin to proclaim unless it was God himself proclaiming it. It doesn't make any sense that God would want to be with me that desperately and you that desperately, even though we both fall into life's about me and not about him. the mother-in-law of St. Peter shows us a remarkable recovery. It also shows how tender Jesus is and gentle he is to each of us in our own sickness. He wants your healing. He wants the restoration of health. That beginning prayer of Mass today. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. The Lord wants to have unfailing care for you. That we rely solely on heavenly graces, and that we be defended by his protection. That's what we're praying for this week as a church. That you and I would live that out in our day-to-day.